We'll look tonight in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 28. It seems for some odd reason that I pick up the sensitivity that somebody here is tired tonight, and you're weary. It was just about all you could do to be here tonight, but you came anyway, and I pray that you'll leave different than you came. You come tired, and I pray tonight you'd leave energized. And I pray that you'd be nourished on the Word of God. And I'm not able to do that, but I know that the Lord is. And we'll trust Him tonight that He'd feed your soul and encourage you in the Word of God. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, we see the first two verses which we shared last week regarding that David has went on the run now. And he's went out on his own and he's went to the land of the Philistines. And he's even started telling the Philistines that he's with as he's been raiding some of the enemies of Israel. He tells the Philistines that he's actually raiding Israel themselves and has caused the enemy to believe a lie. And it's not that he is acting as a double agent, which we'd like to believe, you know, that he's some special agent that's going to turn this thing around on him. He's just sinking in despair, sinking in discouragement. He's sinking in his own self-centeredness and his own self-will. And it's hurt him really bad. And for 16 months, he's been living in a place called Ziklag, and he's been just going worse and worse and worse all the time. And then there comes a time when the Philistines that David is living among line themselves up to battle with Israel, David's people. And what's David going to do? Is he going to line himself up to fight Israel? Will he fight God and the people of God? I mean, could it be that one of our own would turn upon our own selves? Do we do such things? Would we actually engage in friendly fire? Certainly there's been many a battle in many a church where friendly fire has taken ill effect. Amen. David is going to be forced. He's going to be asked by the king of the Philistines to fight Israel. And he's going to be forced to start living the lie he's been telling. He says he's fighting Israel. Now he's going to be asked to actually do it. I want us to see in these first two verses of chapter number 28, a field of service. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish, that's the king, he said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. So here's Israel gathered, and the enemy, the Philistines, are gathered, and the king of the Philistines is asking David to align himself with them. The Philistines always represents the world, and the world will do everything it can to get the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to align him or herself with the world and start seeing things the way the world sees it and start standing on some songs of the world and some doctrines of the world and some of these different Bibles that the world has to offer to try to incorporate them into your worship. Boy, I tell you what, that ought not to be in our field of service. Amen. We ought to recognize quickly that which is counterfeit. Amen. Now I want you to see in these next few verses, verses 3 through 7, the foolishness of the stiff-necked. Stiff-necked preacher. Oh, that's someone that God tries to get their attention to turn them away from something and they refuse the very message of God. Have you ever done that? God spoke to you about this is the way to live your life. This is the decision you need to make. But you harden your neck. You stiffen up. And you won't do what God says do. Oh, somehow I think I'm speaking to somebody besides myself that has stiffened our necks. We see the Bible says in verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him. Samuel was the prophet of God. And Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. What's happened here in verse 3? The man of God is dead. And Saul at one time was a man anointed of God and a man chosen of God to be the king and a man that prophesied under the Spirit of God. And the man who followed God, who took those with familiar spirits, you know, those that were practicing in the occult. And he took all those and the wizards and he cast them out of the land. Or at least he made a pretty good attempt to. In other words, God gave him some convictions and he stood by. Hey, amen. God has convicted us about things in our life. And we've stood by them. Some of them. Amen. We ought to stand by all of them. What do you mean about convictions? Well, you know, Saul's trying to follow the Lord here. I remember when you remember what I've told you before, how that God convicted me because on my little Ford truck, I had some mud flaps that said, with Yosemite Sam with his guns blazing, said, back off. And God told me, said, you can't have them on your truck. I looked all through the Word of God. Nowhere did it say I couldn't have Yosemite Sam on my mud flaps on my little truck. And I went to argue with God about it. And he said, all right, if you won't take them off, then I won't give you any power to preach. You're going to be wasting your time. You'll be a fool when you stand up there. I said, but Lord, I don't understand. He said, how could you possibly be in front of a hearse on your way to the funeral with that truck and say, back off and be right with me after I told you not to have that on your truck? And so certainly on Wednesday night, I didn't jump in the pulpit at the Zion Hill Baptist Church and jump up and say, God said if anybody's got that on your truck, you're going to hell. No. God told me that I needed to take those off my truck, and he spoke that revelation to me. And so it was a conviction that he brought for me. If you happen to have that on your vehicle out here, I'm not judging you. It don't bother me, amen, for you to have that on your vehicle. Nowhere in the Word of God will it tell you to take them off. But that was a conviction that I have. Now, Saul's got more than just a conviction. Saul has the Word of God that tells him that you're not supposed to suffer a witch to live. And all these people supposed to be put out. And Saul is trying to serve God. And the Bible says he's put away those. He's cast them out. And verse 4 says, the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Isn't that amazing? He was a man, my friend, of courage at one point in time in his life. And you know why? Because God had anointed him and filled him with power. The Bible says he was a head taller than anybody else, physically speaking. And I want to say a man that's filled with the Spirit of God and has the power of God resting on his life, I'm telling you what, amen, you'll recognize it. He'll be a head taller than anybody else, maybe not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, you can see how God's touched him and how God's blessed him. But here he is with the enemy gathered against him, a man who used to look for a reason to attack the enemy, a man who used to stand for God and stand in boldness and stand in courage, is now trembling and very afraid. You know why? Because he's rebelled against God. And God's Spirit has been taken away from him. And now a man that was courageous has become a coward. Well, I tell you what, isn't that something? So his heart is greatly trembling. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Boy, Saul went to the altar and asked God to speak to him. But God didn't talk to him. And then God didn't talk to him by dreams, neither by Urim, nor by the prophets. In other words, he was desiring to hear a message of God, a word from God about what to do. The enemy's come. What am I going to do? But the Lord has answered him not. You might say that this man's in a bad fix. He's in a terrible place. He's in a place where God won't talk to him. And when he needs an answer, God rejects and just doesn't say anything to him. Have you ever felt like God wouldn't speak to you? Oh, I'm telling you, there's times in our lives when we have some sin or some situation that we've done wrong and God withdraws himself because we've bucked on God. We rebelled on him. And instead of coming to repentance and getting right with him, we just expect that everything will be all right. And then when we need him in the middle of the night, when our children are sick or there's a fever or something's going on, God don't hear a prayer. You know why? Because we need to repent first. Saul needs to get right about some things in his life. And he's down here begging, oh, I need to hear from God. Oh, Lord, speak to me. But I never see where Saul said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. I'm telling you I've done wrong. He just expect God ought to just bless him just because he's Saul. Listen, God don't bless you just because you go to church. God don't bless you just because you've got a Bible on your lap. God blesses you because he's looking for a man with a broken and a contrite spirit. A man who's willing to agree with God. A man who's willing to say, I've messed up, and God, you're right, I'm wrong. I confess my sins, and when you do that, God, would you speak to me? Would you give me power again? You know, I believe God can speak to you through his own word, written right in front of us right here. I want you to see that he's inquiring of God, but God won't speak to him. And the Bible says in verse 7, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Ain't that amazing? He is asking to hear from God, and instead of repenting, he said, I'll just go seek out a woman that has a familiar spirit. That means that she's a witch. She's a necromancer. She is a medium. She's someone that would conduct a seance. He used to inquire of God. Now so quickly goes out and inquires of the devil. What about that? I want to say to you that I think Saul is a foolish man in that he rejected God's message, and he stiffened his neck. Now, we ought not to stiffen our necks. He will not repent. God said back there in the book of Exodus that the people of Israel were a stiff-necked people. That's what he said. Let's remember something about King Saul. Anointed of God he was. He got so stubborn that he said, anybody that eats today, I'm going to kill them until I'm avenged of my enemies. And his own son, Jonathan, not having heard that command, took his rod and put it in honeycomb and dipped it and ate that sweet honey and the honeycomb. Boy, I tell you what, the word of God's sweeter than honey. And when his daddy heard that he had been eating some of that honeycomb, he was so mad. He said, I'm going to kill that boy. And Saul's own servants had to stop him from killing his own son. That's how stubborn he was. He'd kill his own family. In fact, he took David, a man after God's own heart, anointed of God to be the next king in Israel. His own son-in-law, he hated him so bad, he threw javelins at him time and time again and did everything he could to kill him. You know why? He just didn't like him. He was jealous of him, envious of him. He is a man with a stiff-necked heart. Amen? But now, let's see something else about him. When God told him, I want you to go kill Amalek, and kill all the people there, he spared Agag, their king. Let me weigh that a minute. You're willing to kill your own son. You're willing to kill your own son-in-law. But you spared a wicked king that God said kill. That's foolish. And now, instead of inquiring of God and repenting, you run to a witch. Someone that you used to would have killed. Someone you would have never turned to. Boy, see what stiff-neckedness will do to you. Have you ever been stiff-necked on God? Huh? You ever been stiff-necked? I mean, God speak to you about some revelation in your life, the preacher preaching, it seemed like the Holy Spirit came right down your cobblestone street and right up your sidewalk, knocked on your screen door of your heart and said, it's you. And you said, oh, no. I hope Brother Shane heard it, but not for me. I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, it speaks to us in this chapter about the stiff-neckedness of this people. And you don't have to turn there, but it was Stephen's defense. And he went through what God had said about the Israelites. He said, they're a stiff-necked people. Hey, I wonder what God says about Bethel. Are we a stiff-necked people? You may say, now, preacher, I should certainly hope not. For it seems when the word of God is preached and there's an invitation and the Spirit of God is moving, that there are people that we see go to the altar. I don't necessarily take a head count to see whether it's you or not, but God does. And you may see everybody else moving, but if he spoke to you and you didn't move, you're stiff-necked. Don't get mad at me. It's what God said. Now back here in the book of Acts the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28, we see the foolishness of the stiff-necked. And I want you to see that he seeks a woman that has a familiar spirit. That's our third point, familiar spirits. Now, he said in Exodus 22:18, Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. This is the Mosaic law that Saul is living under. I realize the day that you and I live is a day of grace, and we're not supposed to go out and kill people. Amen? We're not supposed to kill witches, but we're not supposed to turn to them either. Amen? No, we ought not to do that. So we see in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 19, verse number 31, he says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord thy God. Look with me in chapter 20, verse 6. Watch what he says. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, not just somebody that's got the familiar spirit, but the person that would look to that person. The person that would look to the psychic or the fortune teller or the witch or the wizard. The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. What'd God say? He said the person that goes after a witch to find out information from a wizard, to seek after a psychic or a fortune teller, God said, I'm going to cut that person off. That's what God said. Verse 27 of that chapter. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. That's what the Word of God says. Saul's to live according to the Word of God. And he said, you ought not to suffer such a person to live. And there was a point in time in Saul's life that he cast them out. He didn't kill them, though. He is told to kill them. He just cast them out. And now, that God won't speak to him in verse number 7, he says, go get me a woman that's got a familiar spirit. How come he didn't ask for a man? He said, a woman. You're going to get mad at me. But the Bible says the woman was first deceived. And the number of folks that play in the occult, women compared to men, is a huge difference between how many women are in the occult versus men. You didn't like that, did you? I felt it hit us. Ooh, what are you trying to say, preacher? That's what Saul asked for. He must have known something. In fact, as I studied the verb tense of these words, it almost suggests that he possibly could have spoken to someone before. Although the Word of God doesn't say it. But this is a past tense with reverence, with reference of doing something again. That's the verb tense that's suggested here. So he says, get me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Now, ain't it amazing that his own servants knew where this woman was? Huh? The wrong people advising you will always lead you to the wrong decision. You find the right person, they'll tell you where the drugs are. I wouldn't want them as a deacon. I wouldn't want them as my Sunday school teacher. Amen? The wrong person you go to get counsel from, they'll tell you it's okay. It's all right. I'll never forget. Young man came down the altar. He said, God called me to preach. I said, all right, let's examine some things in your life. And I'm telling you, his wife had two living husbands. According to the Word of God, that don't line up. He said, but God's called me. How can you say Cain? I said, because God will not contradict himself. Boy, he got mad, took 30 people out of church with him. And he went to a church where the pastor came and said, oh, I totally agree with what he's doing. And when I checked on that pastor, why, he had two living wives. I guess he did think it was okay. You'll always find somebody that'll tell you what you're doing is okay. But it won't be God unless you're serving in righteousness. Amen? So you make sure you find out who your advisors really are. If you want the truth, you better get them from God. Now, they knew just exactly where this woman was. That's interesting to me. And he's seeking her out. And you know what? I got to thinking, the Lord laid on my heart. He said, you know, Saul has a whole lot in common with that witch. That witch, she's serving the devil and the occult. Do you not, I don't know if you're asleep or if you're shocked at what I said a minute ago about women being in the occult or not. But nod your head if you agree that witch is, she's got the devil. Amen. Are you with me? She's got the devil. Saul's got a lot in common with her. Back here in chapter number 15, we remember how Saul's rebelled on God and how he's rejected. Look what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, and I've got to get off this and move on. But I want to say that he's got something in common. I'm not saying he's serving the devil, but he certainly is in sin. They got that in common. I'm not saying he's lost or saved just yet. I made a statement in the fellowship hall a couple of months ago about Saul. Is he saved or not? A lot of you made comments. I'll prove that out to you tonight, just exactly what I believe. But in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, he says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king." What do they have in common? She's a witch, he's rebellious. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? God says do something, you say, no, I ain't done it. God says go to the altar, I ain't done it. God says testify, I ain't done it. What is rebellion? It's saying that you're right and God's wrong. Well, no, I'm not what I'm saying. I'm just not willing. Listen, that's exactly what you're saying. Rebellion and witchcraft, and we know that they're saying the devil's right and God's wrong. That's what the witch thinks. Oh, you don't like it, do you? Either that or I'm boring you to death. In 1 Samuel chapter 28 again, the Bible says in verse 8 that Saul disguised himself. Now, he's got to be careful here because he's a head taller than everybody else, so he puts on a disguise. Boy, it always troubles me if anybody has to come to church with a disguise on. A lot of people do it. Come in, put a tie on, live like a devil all week long. If you ain't careful, you'll shake hands, have fellowship with them. Ain't a bit more saved, don't care a thing a bit, do anything to tear up. Boy, let me get off that stuff. I know you don't like it, but I'm telling you, I was in a service one night, and the preacher had a man come in with a red devil suit on. And the whole time the preacher was preaching, that devil kept taking this, he kept taking this, these darts, and he kept shooting them at the preacher. And man, and the preacher would see it coming and he'd bat it down. You know, we can take the shield of faith and we can knock down them old fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm telling you, I mean, for 20 minutes, he says every angle he could get from the choir. Preacher, that sounded like it'd be a distraction. Well, I'm telling you what, the devil's doing everything he could to fight that message. Well, directly he left. In just a few minutes, this feller come down, suit on. He sat right on this side. I sitting right beside. He sat him right beside me. Preacher come down 10 minutes later in the middle of the message. He said, "Shake hands with this fella right here." I did. He said, "Be careful. That's the same fella had the red suit on a minute ago that was firing darts at me. He's just got a little different attire on." You never know what you shake hands with. You never know what you're agreeing with. Old Saul, he's going to disguise himself. And he put on other raiment, and he went. He had two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Isn't that interesting? It's nighttime. And he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee." In other words, he said, knocked on the door. "I want to see if you can bring somebody up that I name to you." You know what I mean? Not necessarily raising the dead, but raising their spirit. That we might have a communication. I don't look at me so funny. You know it goes on 2007. You've seen the Oprah Winfrey show or whatever show does. You run across that stuff. Don't look at me like you don't know what's going on. You look at me like this is a shock to you. Oh, it's very popular in 2007. And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?" In other words, she says, is this a sting? Huh? Have you come to arrest me?
You coming to find, if you're asking me, and you're coming, I don't practice that stuff. No, no, if this is a sting. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. What? Saul said, as the Lord liveth. In other words, he's making a promise as he's God and by God that this woman who ought not to even be alive, living in sin, no punishment will come to her, almost like God himself won't punish her. I've seen Saul do this before when he tried to offer the sacrifice himself. Remember that? And try to take upon himself the role of a priest. God whooped him over that. And here he's taking over. Well, I'm just as good as God. And we're, God himself. Not gonna put, in fact, listen, time out just a second. Did you know that according to my study, the words of the Lord, this is the last time he ever uttered them. The Lord. The last time he uttered the words of the Lord, he was swearing to a witch. Do what? Man, I'm telling you what, this rascal, he's something, ain't he? He's something. And then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now Saul is aiding and abetting her sin. Going right along with it, condoning it, patting her on the back, encouraging her to do so. You ought not to be drinking. You ought not to be drugging. You ought not to be gambling. And a whole host of other things that you're tempted to do. You know you ought not to be doing them things. And you're never going to hear me telling you it's all right. Nope. Word of God says so. God will never agree with your sin. And notice he said, I want you to bring me up Samuel. Bring me up. Not just understand something. Are you with me now? Now listen, woman, this is not new, but it's something you need to remember. At that point in time, paradise was in the heart of the earth. What, preacher? Yep. Bible proof. There it is. It was in the heart of the earth. And a great gulf between the paradise section, what you would call heaven, a paradise section, a great gulf between it and the hell compartment, where the wicked went to live. And you remember there that there was a certain man which fared sumptuously every day, and you know when he died, remember, and the beggar died, and the beggar was comforted in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, he died, and there was a great gulf fixed between them, and he could look over and see that this one was comforted, but he was tormented in flames. Desired to even have water that he might dip it just to cool the tip of his tongue. You remember that? Well, guess where Samuel is, the prophet of God. He is in the paradise compartment in the heart of the earth. Now there come a time when Jesus died on the cross that he led captivity captive. He went into the heart of the earth and took the paradise section, amen, and brought it straight into the glories which you and I now know is heaven. But it is not the new heaven. I ain't believing I'm getting on this. But it ain't the new heaven. No, no, no. There's a new heaven that God's preparing for his children. And they ain't one of them gone into the new heaven yet. We'll all go into that place together. Oh, that's going to be a reunion day, amen. What a homecoming, amen. But right now they're with the Lord in heaven. But at that point in time in the Old Testament, Samuel was in the heart of the earth. He said, bring me him up. Not just from the dead, but out of that paradise compartment. Some familiar spirits. You know, he's wanting to gain some more information from Samuel. I don't know why. A few times there, he didn't want to hear what Samuel had to say. I don't know why he wants to hear him now. So, let's see in verse number 12, a fearful scream. And when the woman saw Samuel, in other words, she started her little art of divination and witchcraft. When she saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. I think she screamed. I think she went, "Wah!" Scared you too, didn't it? And you know, it scared her to death. You see, because they could not prove validly that what they were doing was real. It was always some kind of a trick or a demon that would come. But this time, it was really Samuel. Preacher, I don't believe it. Oh, let me prove it to you. It was really Samuel. And he did not come because the woman summoned him. He came because God sent him. And I'm going to prove it to you. So Samuel comes and she screamed. Why'd she scream? She was surprised it worked. Never had worked before. She had tricked a lot of people and deceived them, but this is the first time it was real. So she screamed. Wow! A man of God right here in my house. Oh my. Ain't that something? And the woman, she spake to Saul, why hast thou deceived me? She's been deceiving people all these years and tricking them and conjuring up these fake things. And now she says she's getting what she's been preaching, right? She's getting payback. Why have you deceived me? In other words, she recognized him. Watch here. And she said, for thou art Saul. This is a sting operation. I knew you was here for trouble. I don't know how she recognized him, but she did right then. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. Ain't that something? The witch was afraid. She served the devil, and she was afraid of what she had seen there because it was of God. Now, old Saul, he's not afraid to be with the witch. He's not afraid of Agag, and he's not afraid at all right here what God's getting ready to do to him. You know what? When you're out of the will of God, you ain't afraid of much. Mm-mm. No, no, no. And watch here. He said, be not afraid, for thou, what sawest thou? The woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. I don't know if she saw demons, she saw angels. I don't know what she saw, but she saw something. And I want you to know, he asked her to look further. He says, he said unto her, what form is he of? Now, this gets into our next point, the form of Samuel. What form was he of? She said, an old man cometh up. Well, Samuel was old when he died. And he did come up, amen, didn't come down, come up. And he's covered with a mantle. Remember the last time we seen him, he had a mantle. But remember Saul got upset with him and he jerked that mantle and he rent the man of God's mantle. And he turned around and said, because you've rent my mantle, God's rented the kingdom from you. And as soon as he recognized that word mantle, he knew that's him. I'm sure that's him. And Saul perceived. Now you may say, there's our word, preacher. He perceived. And I heard you preach a message on perception is not always truth. He perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and he bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Somebody I was reading, studying this out, and some of you may believe this as well. This was a hallucination, preacher. It's a hallucination. Well, if it was, they both would have had to have the same hallucination. You can take two people, put them on LSD, they'll see two totally different things. They'll hallucinate. You give them any drug, they'll not see the same stuff. But here, they've looked, they've seen Samuel. In fact, when we look, it looks like Samuel. He's got the form of Samuel. Old man, got the mantle. I believe he recognized his voice when he spoke to him. Says, why have you disquieted me? He looks like Samuel. He sounds like Samuel. You ever heard that old thing? Says, well, if it sounds like a duck and it looks like a duck, it's a duck. You ain't with me yet, are you? Preacher, you got to prove it to me. Well, it's not a hallucination. Do you believe that? I want to say, number two, it is not a deception. She's not conning him. Because I'm telling you what, there was no way she could trick him into believing that was Samuel. Why, she wouldn't want him there to start with. It's not a deception. And it's not a demonic, no. It's not a demonic impersonation. What do you mean, preacher? It's not a demon jumped up there. Demons would have loved to trip Saul up. Demons would have loved to tore this whole thing down. But God sent Samuel and shared with him the word of God. I mean, let me say something to you. The devil does not know the future. Other than what God has said. Only God has foreknowledge to know the end. Preacher, I think the devil's got more power than you think. Listen, he's got power, but he ain't got as much as you think he does. What little power he does have, God gave it to him, he wouldn't have no power at all. You ever thought about that? The devil don't know how everything's going to turn out. In fact, all he wants to do is mess things up. But Samuel comes genuinely from God. And hear me again. He did not come because that woman summoned him. He came because God sent him. Preacher, I have a hard time believing. And you're going to hem me up after the service is over. That's fine. I have a hard time believing that God would take Samuel out of paradise section of the earth to come back into this situation. Really? What about Moses and Elijah on Mount Transfiguration? God called them back. Hello? Is this still on? Are you with me? What about them? Well, that's different. Well, what about there? God's going to send back His two witnesses in the book of Revelations. And they're going to, after 3.5 years, they're going to lay dead in the street. They're going to be killed and lay dead in the street. What about them? Those two witnesses are those that probably never saw death before. What about them? Well, preacher, let me tell you something. This is the only time you'll listen. It's the only time you're going to see God sends to this woman, this witch. He sends to her a message and He sends to Saul a message. Here's Samuel. Now watch here. If you're going to test any spiritual experience, you better take the Word of God and compare it. Because it will not contradict itself. Heard people say, well, an angel spoke to me about such and such and told him something different than what the Word of God said. Angel didn't talk to him. It's probably a demon. But what about Joseph Smith and the Mormons? He said that an angel came and gave him all this stuff. If it don't line up with my Bible, it's devil stuff. Hey. Yes. The book of Galatians comes to mind. I'm talking about testing our spiritual experience here, and certainly Saul's having one here, and we're going to prove it out here in just a second. The book of Galatians, I believe it's chapter 1. Verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In other words, accursed meaning let him be turned into hell. Quickly. Why? There is no other gospel. This is it, y'all. It's all you need to get to the city. And I want to tell you that everything that this man that's sent from the paradise section of heaven, everything he's going to say to Saul lines up perfectly with the Word of God. Perfect. We see the form of Samuel. You can always test your spiritual experiences with the Word of God. He will not trouble or contradict himself. Now, once you see in verse 16, I got to move on. Some foreseen suffering. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, saying, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? In other words, why do you want to hear from me? You wouldn't hear from me when I was alive. Why do you want to hear from me when I was dead? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. In other words, Saul says, I'm going to confirm to you what God's already told you. Because of your rebellion, the kingdom is taken away from you. Now, Saul's begging to hear something different. But when Samuel comes, he just reconfirms the message of God. Do you think the devil's going to confirm the message of God? He wants to deny the message of God. Say, God's a liar. He don't love you. Don't care about you. Not Samuel, he's the man of God, sent by God. Even though he may be in the paradise section, amen, of the midst of the earth, here he comes and says, just like God said to you, he's took the kingdom from you and given it to your neighbor, even to David. Why? Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. He said, I'm telling you tomorrow, 24 hours from now, you're going to be dead. Your spirit, your two boys, they're going to be dead. They're going to be gone. And their spirits going to be with me. Let me announce this name. This is why I believe that even though Saul looked so messed up, junked up, wrong, uneducated, rebellious, disrespectful, disobedient, as heinous as he may be, as being there with a witch, the man of God says this time tomorrow, you and your boys will be with me. Where's Samuel? He's in the paradise section of the earth. That's for the saved. Said tomorrow you're going to be with me where the saved people are. That's, I said it a few months ago, I'm not going to tell you just exactly why I believe it, but right here's one of my proof texts. I could go back to say that the Lord was the one who chose him to be king. The Lord's the one who had him anointed to be king. He stood and prophesied under the direction and the Spirit of the Lord. You may say to me, yeah, but he also used a donkey to speak one time. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I will not deny that. But I want to say to you, I believe Saul was a saved man. And if he'd have been lost, he'd have been in another section of the earth. Not in the saved section. Now, I never read where Saul repented and got right with God again. He died in that miserable state. Suffered a loss of reward, probably, but saved. That's why I can't adhere to a doctrine that says that you're saved today, lost tomorrow. They wouldn't like this right here. Amen? So he tells Saul about some foreseen suffering. In other words, he said that the word of God that came to you before has not changed. It's still the same, and the word of God will never change. It will never agree with your situation that you're wanting it to agree with. You understand what I'm saying? You're wanting to agree with your sins. It will never agree with your sinful situation. If you're serving God in righteousness, it'll agree. Can I say something to you? The book of Colossians chapter 3 comes to my mind. And we may think that this message tonight only relates to those that are playing in the occult and with witches, and I know it tears them up and they get mad. And maybe some of you, you're calling the psychic hotline. I'm telling you what, you ought not to be on that junk. I need to say that again, don't I? You ought not to be spending your time calling the psychic hotline. God don't agree with that mess. No, absolutely not. Well, I don't even know my future. Are you kidding me? I can already tell you about my future. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see my loved ones again. I'm going to be with Jesus. I better get off that stuff, but that's where I'm going. Now in Colossians chapter 3, let me remind you, God told Saul to kill the enemy, and he rebelled. Still saved, but he paid an awful price. His son's going to die too because of his sin. And all of Israel's going to be delivered into the hands of the enemy. Why? Because of his sin. You think it just affects you, don't you? But you realize it affects all of us. All your family. Your children that you love so much. You make sure every day to wipe their face and get the matter out of their eyes. Make sure they're hair's combed and ain't sticking up. And you do all these things to take care of them and love them. And then you go out and live in sin. Don't you know that those things are going to affect them? You ain't got away with nothing. And God's told you and I that we need to kill some things. Now, he didn't say we're supposed to go out and kill witches. Because I believe by the grace of God that the Holy Ghost could come to them, reveal them to them that they're lost and they get saved. We ought not to be a murderer. But look what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, mortify. You know what that means, to mortify something? Kill it. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, it doesn't tell me we're supposed to kill the members at Bethel Baptist Church. None of that. It's talking about your body. Which are upon the earth. Fornication? Kill it. What, preacher? That ain't fair. I like to fornicate. Kill it. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. God said, kill them things. For which things' sake? What things? Those things he named. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He's not talking to lost people. He's writing to the church at Colossus. He's writing to you and me at Bethel. We're supposed to kill some stuff. Kill these old sinful things in our body. Kill them off. Wipe them out. Get rid of them. But that ain't what we do, is it? We go around and hide it neatly and come back to it a little later when nobody's looking and we think we got away with it. The Bible says the wrath of God will fall on the children of disobedience. You're disobedient not to kill what God said kill. I ain't done yet, but I just about am. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, foreseen suffering for Saul, his family, and his people. I want you to see the fellowship he has, the fellowship of sorrow, when he heard that. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. You know what the devil would have done right there if I'd have been the devil? He'd have said, "You're all right, Saul. You're a good boy. I real like you. Man, you just live any way you want to, deny the existence. I'm just a..." That's what the devil would do. That's why I know this is genuinely Samuel, and I know it. God genuinely sent him. And old Saul, when he hears these words, boy, he just starts trembling in his heart and he falls to the ground. I remember that night. Man of God preached. I've been doing something wrong. And the Holy Ghost said, "He's talking to you." My heart got afraid. I mean, we was in one of them Holy Ghost filled services. You know, sometimes it gets that way around here. And you get under spiritual arrest. You're afraid to move. You're afraid not to move. I'm telling you what, it gets on. Holy Ghost all over. And you just want to fall to the ground and get right. Boy, I'm telling you what, right then and there in that situation, amen. Oh, Saul falls down to the ground, but he don't repent. And then verse 21, and the woman, who? That wicked witch. She came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, "Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way." The witch says, "Let me cook supper for you." She what, preacher? She said, "Let me cook supper for you." But he refused. Well, praise God, he refused. And said, "I will not eat." You know why? He's got a lost appetite because he's under conviction. And he knows God's right and he's wrong. But his servants, together with, he had two servants went with him, remember? His servants, together with the woman, they compelled him. Ain't it amazing how misery loves company? You get down on yourself, things ain't good, you've messed up, your life's ruined. I'm telling you what, you've lost everything in your life, and you'll find somebody comes and say, "Well, bless your heart. It's going to be all right." You better not agree with something somebody's doing, been part of. You better tell them, "Better get your life right. Better get your life right. Better get your life right. Better get your life right." See, this woman, she comes to comfort Saul and says, "Hell, honey, it'll be all right. I mean, he's probably wrong. We don't believe God anyway." He refused, but his servants, together with the woman, they compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat up on the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, took flour, kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. Unleavened bread. Ain't that something? Trying to have a worship experience, her of the devil, and him supposed to be saved. I don't see worship in that. Killed a fatted calf, just like the prodigal son come home. Huh? I'm telling you what, the devil will do anything he can to get your mind off getting right with God. Everything he can to get your mind off getting right with God. She brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. They rose up and went away that night. You know what? I can just see him sitting there, can't you? "What have I done? Going to die tomorrow, me and my boys. Maybe it ain't so. Maybe." You know what? And he's eating this meal. I believe he's like one of them fellers on death row eating his last meal. This is his last supper
tomorrow he's going to die. I hope he enjoyed it. But I cannot see where he got down and prayed. Didn't need to, I don't guess. He's already too late. You know, there's a possibility that you can step over a deadline of God. My last point, we'll go home. Forgiveness sought? Question mark. Verse 25. Then they arose up and went away that night. He did not seek repentance. Amazingly, at times he said, I've sinned, I've done wrong, I've done this, I've done... But he never sought repentance. And although God's pronounced judgment on him, it's probably too late. Now, I want to read this last verse. We'll go home. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. What's going to happen to Saul? Just like God said, tomorrow in battle, he's going to die. His two boys are going to die. And Israel's going to lose that battle. And they're delivered to the Philistines. Are you with me? Just like God said. Is forgiveness salt? I know it's not. I want to say some of you, don't you try to conduct seances. Say some of you, boy, you'd like to talk to some of your loved ones gone on. You've even been tempted. You've missed them so bad, you've been tempted to call some of these numbers. Some of you play with Ouija boards. That ain't nothing but a game. You're playing with devils. You better be careful what you try to play with. The devil try to get into you, friend. I'm telling you. He'll try to get in your mind. I don't believe he can control your life if you're saved, but he'll try to ruin you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse number 13, verse number 14. Don't try them seances. I just feel like I just need to drive this home. What I need to do then, preacher? I want to talk to my loved ones. I miss them so bad. Oh, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He's going to reunite you one day anyway if you're saved. If they're saved and you're saved, you're going to see them again anyway. You're going to see them never have to say goodbye. They ain't just going to appear to you like a ghost and then vanish away. Boom, they're gone. You're going to be with them forever. Just wait on the Lord. Why did Saul have to die? Why did he die? Why did he lose everything? 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord. Do you believe God would actually kill somebody, preacher? I know he will. Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. He died not just for rebelling against God's word, not killing Amalek and continuing to try to put himself in places he wasn't supposed to be, but he died also because he consulted after this witch. You looked at me funny. Read it again. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. I read to you in Leviticus, God said, if the soul, a witch ought not to live, but if somebody even goes to consult the witch, I'll cut them off too. You know, I want to ask you. I don't know your situation. Preacher, I ain't consulting the witch. I'm totally safe. Praise God. But who is it that's encouraging you to live a wrong lifestyle and you know it ain't right? Huh? Who's aiding and abetting you? Or are you aiding and abetting somebody? I'll tell you what, God will convict you for doing that because you're going to be just as accountable to God. You think, well, hey, it don't matter. I'm just... It does. Watch how you line yourself up. Stand with me tonight. Preacher, I don't know about that. I just don't think God brings Samuel back. Study your Bible. I believe he genuinely sent him back. And it shocked that woman. Surprised her to death. Lord, we pray. Take the message tonight. Use it for your glory. Pray, God, somebody be encouraged. Pray somebody be helped. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to study the word of God and to preach it tonight, Father. And we thank you for helping us to do so. We pray, God, you just add your blessings to the message. And pray, God, you'd touch each person that's come this way. We appreciate them so much. Ask God that we'd be a church that's right with you, not one that's aiding, abetting, and sin. not one that's just condoning, not one that's just trying to hide things, but one, Father, that really wants to serve you. And I realize, God, with a message tonight from heaven, I believe you warn us. Do not believe you put us in 1 Samuel just out of mere coincidence. You had divinely appointed for this evening. You know. I pray, God, you'd help us where we need it. Lord, if someone in this place needs to repent, God, I pray they'd do so. Not be stiff-necked about it. Not run for some door to get out of here. But they'd run to an altar. They'd run to the very throne of heaven and say, oh, God, have mercy. I'm wrong again. You're right. I'm under conviction and I surrender, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for the very warnings you've given us through the Holy Spirit of God. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. All hearts and minds clear. You're at liberty to go. God bless you. Thank you for coming.